Liberty Baptist is grateful for the opportunity to share the following message with you from our senior pastor, Dr. Randy Wood. This message was given during one of our Sunday morning services and comes from God's Word and from our pastor's heart. If you've never joined us for a Sunday morning worship experience, we hope you will soon. We truly see Liberty as one church for all people. Now here's Pastor Randy.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, this is the Word of God. So if you're able to stand, join me in doing so. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. In so many ways, our world is like a massive hurricane with violent winds and battering waves that pound the sea line. Chaos is all around. Crews are working tirelessly to anchor vessels to prevent massive loss. People are boarding up their homes. It's like there's widespread panic. And the thought of looters terrifying business owners because they were required to suddenly abandon their shops. But a few feet beneath the ocean waters, there is pure calm. The water is clear. The fish and sea life are unaware of the chaos above them. They are completely at peace. So let me ask you, how is life where you live? For many people, life is like this incredible, tumultuous hurricane because there is no depth to their relationship with the Lord. They have mile after mile of religious opinions, but they're only an inch deep in relationship with Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. With Jesus, there is peace. Without Jesus, there is no peace. But our Lord Jesus brings calm to the storms of life, tranquility to human souls. What a wonderful gift. Now let's learn a little more, shall we? Let's give attention to the final name of our Lord as disclosed by Isaiah chapter 9. We've given attention to the other names previously. Today we will address that wonderful gift of God given to us as Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now, let's look at this in two different snapshots. First of all, Jesus is our Prince, and then, in a brief moment, Jesus as our peace. First of all, Jesus is our Prince. Now, if Jesus is your Prince, that means he has authority over your life. You see, he's not a Santa of peace, dropping down your chimney and giving peace to all and to all a good night. He's not the marshal of peace that will coerce you into accepting his kingdom of peace. But rather, he is a Prince of Peace. Now, a prince means he has domain. You see, Jesus as our Prince means there is a kingdom in which he rules. And Jesus is the Prince of the Kingdom of Peace. Herein lies our struggle for a life of peace. You see, because we want to be our own prince. From childhood, we dream about being a prince or a princess. And we desire to rule over our own kingdom, to make our own decisions, to do as we see fit. No Jesus, no peace. Now, Jesus' government is one of eternal peace. Now, I don't know about you, but politics and government seems to have taken away from the last few weeks of my life. Now, I'm not complaining or bellyaching. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, just the impeachment hearings alone, the overwhelming media coverage is so pervasive, it's almost like I'm having a tough time getting into Jesus here, and I'm the pastor of the church. I mean, there is so much railing, so much strife, so much division. I mean, it's everywhere you look, everywhere you hear. There's sounds of Christmas from time to time, but there's this incredible pain and hardship and turbulence. Now, Jesus brings a government of peace. You might ask, well, how could Jesus bring peace to our culture? I mean, you are indeed correct, Pastor. There are many ills and pressures and demands. How could Jesus bring peace to this world, to our culture? Well, here's how. Because he rules a kingdom of peace. And that means that all the ills and all of the pressures and the demands are outside of his kingdom. And to be very frank, they are irrelevant to me. You see, they just don't make much a difference to my life. You see, where I live, in the kingdom where I live, there is peace, not turbulence. You see, in the kingdom that I live, there is tranquility, and I don't have to be caught up in this enormous tide of chaos and unrest. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. I don't have to fret about politics. I don't have to worry about making more money. I don't have to be consumed about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I live with a prince who reigns in this kingdom, and I'm in it, and it's a kingdom of peace. Now, you got to understand this. When we live in Jesus' government of peace, we don't have to worry about prosperity and adversity. Now just think about that. You who are in the kingdom where Christ is prince, you do not have to, you should not be worrying about prosperity or adversity. Well, why not? Well, because he is your prosperity. He is your provider. In his kingdom, he rules. What he says goes. And he says he's going to care for us. We don't have to worry about adversity. Why? Because he's the prince of our kingdom. And he calls the shots. He establishes the order in our kingdom. Oh, what joy and what peace. What stability we have in the kingdom of peace. Now, Jesus is a different type of prince, of course. His throne was a cross. His castle was a manger. His robe was a bloody garment. His crown was made of thorns. And his courtiers were common disciples, people just like us. You see, Jesus rules a kingdom that is found in human hearts. You see, the only way to drive to it is to be driven to your knees. Now, there are other princesses and governments, and they leave their citizens unfulfilled and in need. You see, it tends to be that other rulers take from their citizens instead of giving back to their adherents. But not with Jesus. You see, Jesus owns all, has all. And he gives to us. Instead of taxing our resources, he blesses us. Anyone in the house feel blessed? I mean, it was raining outside, but you just feel warm on the inside. Amen. You just feel like Jesus, your Prince of Peace, has blessed your life. Not only does he bless you on earth, he gives you the promise of everlasting life. You will never die. And if you ever get over that, you don't have it yet. He gives you everlasting life. Listen, he gave himself. Let me remind you, he gave himself to you. The Prince gave himself to you. What a prince. What a kingdom. A kingdom of peace. Now, Jesus is our prince. I trust he's yours. Jesus is our peace. Now, the world doesn't have peace because it doesn't have Jesus. I mean, you see this clearly at Christmas time, right? You've seen it this past week. You'll probably see it Monday and Tuesday. Just go to the pavilion, you'll see it. I mean, shopping carts are like warheads. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. Now, let's take a little closer look at Jesus being our peace, because the world defines, now listen carefully, the world defines peace principally as the absence of war and conflict. And in the Christian context, that is only half true. It is true, but it's only half true. So let's look at this notion of Jesus being our Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. I want the church to say shalom. Yeah, you're familiar with that Hebrew term. We use it from time to time here. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. Now listen, shalom isn't just sitting along the beach listening to the ocean waves. You see, shalom is more than the absence of war and of conflict. Shalom includes all the good that God has to replace the void that comes with the removal of war and strife. Now, let me illustrate it. When I was a child, and I know it's just going to be really, really, really difficult to believe, but there were times I'd get in trouble. And I never was really a loud kid. That may surprise you. I really wasn't. But I was a very active kid. In fact, I played hard in our living room. And I would play ball in the living room. I would run throughout our house. And you see, that's why Bev understands that's how we play with the grandkids. I do the very same thing. We run like a bunch of Trojans through the house. We throw the football. We play baseball in the house, you know. And occasionally we still get in trouble, but we just seem to get over it. I'm in a little better position in my house now than I was when I was a child. But my mother and my dad, but principally my mother, I mean, she would just kind of crack the whip. She's a German lady, as many of you know, and when she could crack a whip, she'd crack a whip. In fact, when she would actually mostly become so eager to change my behavior, she wouldn't get a whip, she'd just use her hand. And she would paddle me with her hand on every syllable. I told you not to do. And then every syllable, I thought, oh my, I'm just afraid she's going to break out in German, and I mean, it'd be the huge syllables, you know. But here's how it ended. Here's how it always ended. It always ended up, I've gotten better, by the way. You can trust me. I'm a little bit better. My mother would send me to my room, and there I'd be. No war, no strife. But there was this eerie kind of haunting silence. I was in one place, my mama in the other place. It didn't seem to improve her attitude any, us being separated. Silence was deafening. But there's no peace. Here's what shalom is. Shalom means completeness and wholeness. It is the removal of war and conflict, for sure. But more than that, the other side of shalom is God's gift of completeness and wholeness. Shalom can be used, the term, can be used for a stone that is perfectly whole without cracks. Joshua 8:31. It can also refer to a wall that's completed without cracks or holes. Let me give you a couple examples. God commanded Moses to construct an altar with shalom. You don't see that in the English. Out of shalom. Why? He was to use uncut stones where no stones were missing. There were no gaps or holes in the altar. A second example, Solomon, the great king, brought shalom to the unfinished temple when he finished the construction of the temple. You see, shalom doesn't remove the conflict around you, but it removes the conflict in you. Now, in our world, there is conflict all around. Everywhere you look, there's conflict, there's war, there's strife. But when you live with Jesus as your Prince of Peace, and he has given you this kingdom to live within, there is peace all around. Because he's replaced strife with wholeness. He has replaced conflict with completeness. Oh, what an incredible blessing. Shalom is our inner peace. It means you're full and you're satisfied on the inside. All around you, the world is falling apart, but on the inside of you, you got it all together because his shalom is within you. Kind of reminds me of getting all out away from the table after a nice Christmas meal. You're full and you're satisfied. And it's all good inside. That is the Lord's shalom. Now, the word shalom was also used in the ancient context of the Old Testament of cities that had walls fortified to protect its citizens. And they were constructed with shalom, meaning that there were no cracks or no holes in the wall. Now, imagine that you live in the ancient world and there are many kings and others that would love to seize your property and your life. And so you'd construct your life, your homes on a hill. You would build a wall around it. Now, if your wall had holes and cracks, it was weak. And these basically were the vulnerable places in your security. And if an enemy would attack, he would look for these cracks and these holes. It'd be the best way to eliminate that which protects and secures. You see, the shalom of God is the wall around our lives, the wall around our hearts, our minds, our inner being that gives us peace and protection and security. There are no cracks. There are no holes on the inside. On the outside, they're everywhere. But on the inside, we are complete and whole. Do you have cracks and holes in your life? I tell you what causes them. Sin causes them. You see, every time we relent and concede to sin, there's a crack. Now, the good news is our Prince of Peace can give his shalom and bring wholeness yet again, but sin brings cracks and brings holes. It's sin that creates these vulnerable times in our lives on the inside. If you're here today and you feel broken on the inside, you must have the shalom of Jesus, because shalom restores the cracks. And he makes your life complete and full. Now, Jesus is our only source of shalom. Now you have to listen to this very carefully. You cannot restore the cracks and holes in your own life. You don't have enough money to buy the repair on your inside. Because money cannot fix the cracks and holes in your soul. A nice Christmas present might appear to be very nice on Wednesday this year, but it will not mend the cracks and the holes in your soul, because only the shalom of Jesus can do that. Now, your friends and your family, they may want to repair the cracks and holes in your soul. They may have the desire to give repair to you on the inside, but they've got cracks and holes themselves. They can't fix you. Only Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is our shalom. He came from heaven where there was nothing but perfection and wholeness and completeness. And he came to earth that was broken with cracks and holes all throughout mankind. And Jesus came to do what man cannot do for himself. Jesus came to do what good intentioned man cannot do for others, and that is to repair the cracks and holes in people's lives. You see, Jesus is your shalom. He came to this earth that was broken, and there he crawled upon a cross and became broken of sorts so that he might give you shalom. Jesus did not say, well, I'll just bake him some Christmas cookies and these will repair the holes and the cracks in their lives. But nothing other than death on the cross, payment of sin debt. When Jesus hung on the cross, he suffered as a payment for my sin and yours. That's why the great Prince of Peace is the only giver of God's shalom. Jesus is God's gift of shalom to you. There should be no gaps, no holes, because God's repaired them. You see, there should be no gaps or holes between you and God, right? He definitely wants to repair that. If you're here today and being honest with yourself, could say, there are cracks in my spiritual life. And me and God, there was a time when we were better than we are now. I'm just not there yet. I still have some holes still yet on the inside. I want you to know that Jesus came to repair those cracks and holes so that you would have his completeness and wholeness of shalom. Of course, he'll take the war and the conflicts away from within you, because you have the benefits of this incredible kingdom. But then he replaces all that junk and pain with completeness and wholeness. If you have cracks of anger in your life, it's because you have not yielded to the Prince of Peace. If you hold hatred toward another person, it's not because of that other person. It's because the Prince of Peace is not ruling in your heart. If you've come to church today and there is war on the inside of your life, it's because you want to be your own Prince of Peace. You're trying to make your own kingdom and live in the life that you choose. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hatred, of war, of anger, of greed, of superiority and violence. I'm sick of it. Because these are the things that reign in this world. But that's why I don't live in this world. I live in his kingdom. And his kingdom is a kingdom of shalom. We just have to choose whether we're going to crown him as prince or not. It's time, church. It's time, my brother, my sister, my friend. It is time that we crown him Prince of Peace. over our lives. You see, this is God's gift to you. This is God's incredible gift to you. The prince is yours. The kingdom of peace, shalom, is yours. You get to live in another rule. And even though there's stuff happening all around you, on the inside is where you'll find peace. You've got to crown him Prince of Peace. There was a group of Christians in the first century that lived in a city called Laodicea. It was a wealthy city. It had been destroyed by an earthquake 35 years before the letter was written from John to the church of Laodicea. Actually, it was Jesus' letter. John was just like the amanuensis. He was just the secretary. But Jesus wrote him a letter 35 years approximately after a complete collapse and destruction of the city. Now, the people, the citizens of Laodicea, I mean, they just asserted themselves after the earthquake. They were known for having an incredible, beautiful supply of wool. It wasn't all white. Some of it was black. And they were known, if you really want some fabric that was just beautiful, created out of black wool, you go to Laodicea. And man, they had business going on there. And they rebuilt the city. Within 35 years, now these ancient people, right? We're talking about first century folks. Rebuilt the city, started their wool business again. Not only did they have a wool business, but they also had a banking industry. Now, you'd think that if a community collapses, you wouldn't want to put your money in that bank. But you know what? The folks at Laodicea had such an incredible reputation with their banking industry that, boy, it just kind of propelled the economics right back to incredible state. Any city needs water. You cannot survive without water, right? And a lot of these ancient communities, they had no water supply. In fact, when you go to Israel, you pretty much have the Sea of Galilee, and you've got some tributaries, and that's pretty much what you got for fresh water in all of Israel. It's incredible. Not a whole lot of water supply there that's fresh. But here's what Laodicea did. They had no water supply of their own, but they had it piped in from Hierapolis. And the city of Hierapolis was so dependent on Laodicea that water went from Hierapolis to Laodicea. Of course, it traveled such a distance, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. The cold waters of Hierapolis became warm. Who likes warm water? But they had plenty of it. And then finally, they had this medical school. Truly, an ancient one, but a medical school that specialized in eye treatment. And they had this ability to anoint eyes that were declining with the salve is supposed to help. And they were known all across the ancient world. Now, this is what Jesus said in Revelation 3:17 in his letter. This is what Jesus said. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched. You're not rich. You're wretched. You're miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't know it. You think you're rich. You think you have an abundance. You think because you live in this new rebuilt city and the economy is booming and all seems to be going well, that you now have reached the height and pinnacle. But you are miserable on the inside. You're wretched and poor and blind on the inside. Now let's not put a smile on our faces with war in our hearts. Let's not pretend to be whole when there's cracks in our lives. You see, we need to crown Jesus as Prince of Peace because he is the gift. And we must receive him in honesty and humbleness to say, Lord, it's me. By every external measure, I'm rich and wealthy and whole, and man, I'm looking good on the outside. But on the inside, I'm miserable. I'm wretched and I'm poor. I'm broken, and I've got cracks and holes on the inside. Crown Jesus as your Prince of Peace.
Well, there it is. Another message from God's Word and our pastor's heart. Thank you for investing these few minutes in eternal matters of the soul. What has God spoken to you through this message? We would love to hear about it. Would you take time to send us an email? Address it to godsaid@lbcfayette.org. That's it. godsaid@lbcfayette.org. And let us know how we can take the next step in helping encourage you. We would love to pray for you, to introduce you to a relationship with God through Jesus, and to introduce you to our Liberty family. There are times of ministry at Liberty for your whole family throughout the week. You'll find out more at lbcfayette.org. Now, until next time, remember to keep your heart in tune with God as you wait for another message from Liberty Baptist Senior Pastor, Dr. Randy Wood.